today on Doomed!
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hey, it's our very first multi-guest episode. Rob Wissman, Jesse Farrar, and Stefan Heck, a.k.a. the Go Off Kings, join the show. We talk Jesse Farrar's Dunking Conservatives Heads Underwater tweet that made it all the way to Fox News and the blowout from that, the Parkland shooting, and how the students are proving that the kids, well, they'll be better than all right. And Twitch video game streaming. This episode really runs the gamut. All that and much, much more on today's episode of Doomed with Matt Binder. Hey everyone, I know you're probably sick of me saying this along with every other podcast you listen to, but this shit really helps. Leave that review on iTunes, alright? Drop a 5-star rating, take a minute to just type up a written review, please just do it. I got 3 guests on this show, so I mean, I usually ask you to leave me a review for 1 guest. I swear, if you haven't yet, this episode will make you say, you know, that show's worthy of my review. Finally, they did something right. Alright, and with that,
here we go!
All right, joining the show today, I have 3 guests on the line. Stefan Heck, Jesse Farrar, Rob Wissman, the Go Off Kings. Guys, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us, Matt. We're very excited to be here. We have a lot to talk about. Jesse has a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I got to say, when I was introducing you guys, it felt a little bit like I was doing like the old New Age Outlaws type the badass Stefan Heck. The road dog, Rob Wissman.
Yeah, we on a recent stream we played some of the Stefan, which was the what was the damn game it was?
I think it was No Mercy for the N64.
Yeah, we had 4 badass Billy Guns at one time, so it's, you know, having 3 right here. I don't know, maybe you're the 4th badass Billy Gunn in our crew now.
Famousers all around.
Yeah.
That's like the greatest wrestling video game of all time. It's fantastic, No Mercy.
So what you're saying, Jesse, is more guns, right?
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right, so let's get right to it. Well, first, let's start with this. About, what is it, 2 Fridays ago, I wake up, I go on Twitter, and there's Fox News screen grabs all over my Twitter stream, and I see that the president of the United States, without a doubt, was watching Jesse Farrar's face on his TV screen. Jesse, can you give us a little bit of background of what happened and why you were on Fox News? A tweet was on Fox News, at least.
Yeah, no, they didn't ask me to be on there because, first of all, I wouldn't be awake at whatever time it was they had it, because I think those guys get up and start getting mad like really insanely early in the morning. They're up and pissed off, and I'm still like in REM sleep. But so I saw that, you know, it maybe even was Stefan who showed me the Charlie Kirk thing, because he's got like a real hard on for Charlie Kirk and how stupid he is. He's always busting on his weird gums and the diaper thing they did and all that. So I honestly don't know a lot about the guy. I know that he does Turning Point USA. So that's the college campus. I'm sure everybody knows more about it than I do. I don't know what it's, some kind of organization to make college conservative guys feel good about themselves or whatever. And
yeah, it's their main goal, it seems nowadays, is to stop the rise of Bernie Sanders and socialism in the youth of America today.
Yeah, so maybe I wouldn't have like stepped on this rake if I had realized that was like his whole nut. Like I thought he was just I thought he was just like one of those other guys, you know, one of the other like million right wing scam guys that there are. So I didn't realize this was like his bread and butter is college kids, and I didn't realize how crazy he was about it. So
interestingly enough, I found out that he did not even attend college. This guy.
No, he applied to West Point, and
he applied to West Point, and yeah, like a good libertarian, he took personal responsibility and said that because of affirmative action, a black woman took his spot.
But like, also, like that can't be true, because how does he know that?
No one's exactly.
No one's gonna tell you when you don't get in the school, hey, you didn't get into this university. By the way, here's who got your spot. Here's their address.
Matt and I saw him at CPAC.
Yes, we did. Yes,
freakishly tall,
and very a very gummy smile.
Yeah, he's such a fucking dork, man. Every person at their table there was the biggest goober I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how they mobilize in between getting laid.
They all coordinated every day and wore the same shirt. One of the days they were all wearing like their Bernie Sanders campaign parody shirt that says socialism sucks.
So that's funny.
That's a good shirt because it's like from a distance you're like, oh, it's a Bernie shirt, and then you get close and it's like, wait a second, that's something different. And
he'd never say that.
And that would of course convince the people excited about a Bernie shirt that socialism sucks.
It makes them think. It's like, wait a second, I was excited for the shirt when I thought it was something else.
They were all
and now it says this. So am I excited for this also? It throws a wrench into the equation.
I don't want people to think I'm fooled, so I'll just pretend I knew it was a socialism sucks shirt all along.
Exactly.
They were all wearing socialism sucks shirts when we were at CPAC. It's hilarious because one of the pillars of their organization is, hey, you don't want to think like everyone else, do you? And then you see them, they're all wearing the same shirt and holding signs that were fucking printed out for them.
Mm.
Yeah. It's all, like I was talking to you before. I spoke with the girl from Kent State who was running that Turning Point chapter, and she's the one who put together that Safe Space event that went viral on Twitter where they were all wearing diapers to own the libs. And, you know, it's amazing that went through and not a single one of those kids, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, said to themselves, you know, are we being owned here? Like, we're the ones wearing diapers.
That was the weirdest thing. And I mean, I think it wasn't it also another group too. It was like YAL or something.
Yeah, young
adults
of Liberty
for Liberty or whatever. Yeah. There's so many groups like that, and they're all like astroturfed by like the Mercers and whoever else. It's so funny because their whole thing is like liberals are all George Soros is paying them to believe this stuff and say this stuff, and it's like aren't you getting paid like a lot of money to just spread this stuff on the campus? Isn't this like exactly what you hate?
Yeah. I mean, she said she was getting paid. She was getting paid and going to that college. So, I mean, and she was also explaining how they can't actually like endorse any candidates because the way they're set up, they wouldn't be able to accept the money they accept if they endorsed candidates. It's all
right.
Basically,
I remember there was a New Yorker article about that mentioned that, I think, and they were being forced to like do some work for like Ted Cruz, his campaign or something. You're like, well, legally we can't do this because of how it's all set up. And yeah, it just seems like a disaster.
The funniest thing is they once got in trouble because legally you're not allowed to do this at all, apparently, but they were funding student body campaigns. Like they were trying to get conservatives to be like the class president by giving them thousands of dollars so they could like, I guess, go to Kinko's and print more copies than the kid who's doing it for himself. Like, I mean, who does that?
If there's one thing I remember about college, it was paying attention to student government.
My question about Charlie Kirk is this. Did some really hot Venezuelan dude fuck his ex-girlfriend or something? What is going on there?
He hates
what
Venezuela.
Is with him in Venezuela?
It's conservatives think Venezuela is like the perfect embodiment of socialism, so they have to go at it so they could show everyone how terrible socialism is. You know, if America all of a sudden became a socialist country, we would look exactly like Venezuela. Or that's what they think they would like everyone to believe.
Yeah, unlucky for us, there's no such thing as a fucked up capitalist country that we could point to as an example. It sucks that there's not like even one of those, and we're not in one either. But it sucks. It would be really convenient if we had that, you know, in our tool belt.
Yeah.
Until
we have that example, I guess we gotta just keep doing what we're doing.
I think the United States would knock socialism out of the park, man. Look what we did with The Office. We saw another country doing that, and then we ride out of the fucking park. Gym face. That's us.
All right, we could come back to Charlie Kirk and we are coming back to them, because let's get back to the Fox News thing. So Jesse gets his tweet on Fox News. What was the reply to what did Charlie Kirk say? What was his reply? And what was your reply? I'm sorry.
So whatever he said about conservative students being it's beyond shamed at this point, the myth that they have, it's silenced, right? They think that conservative college students can't speak their minds or whatever, and
they get bad grades for being. Why do all the conservatives on college get bad grades? I wonder.
Yeah, it's weird. But you know, this is like, just as a side note, this is a total myth that people who didn't go to college have about colleges, is that they're like they're liberal outposts, just for brainwashing young kids or whatever. My experience was like the opposite. So I went to the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, which is maybe like slightly outside the Bible Belt, strictly speaking. But I had professors that would be like the professor of environmental philosophy, and he would be like in church every Sunday. So it's like we didn't have a bunch of like weird, high-waisted, hippie professors saying all this shit. Like, we even had those, I don't know if you guys had these, the weird cult Christian groups coming on campus. They like tried to get you to go to their commune or something. Like, it was, it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like you feel indoctrinated at all. I mean, if anything, I think it might have been a little bit the opposite. But anyways, that's part of the persecution myth that they have. So I just said that, I did a little quick pull the rug out from under him joke and just said that the conservative students shouldn't be getting, failing grades because of their beliefs. They should actually, somebody should put their heads underwater and hold them there till they stop breathing. And so, you know, I've said elsewhere that I probably didn't phrase that the best way. I think maybe if I had had like an hour to think about it, I could have turned a more delicate phrase around the notion that he sucks and conservative ideology sucks and he's making it all up. But anyways, you know, that's what I said, and I put that out there. And so to his credit, he tried to dunk on me and then said that I'm sure he was joking. But what really got him stirred up is when I said that I was not joking. That really poked the wasp nest there. And then, of course, you know, Barry Pachesky from Deadspin's email, I think, just rocketed it up to another level, where he didn't exactly endorse what I said, but he didn't denounce it either. And that really got under their skin. The Barstool guys got mad because they have an axe to grind. All of the other, you know, all these other people I've never heard of got mad. And then before you know it, the Fox and Friends people were up at 4:30 in the morning just steaming mad.
So for people who don't know, though, you used to write for Deadspin, right? As a, were you a freelancer, a part-time, what were you doing at Deadspin?
Oh, no, I would totally hold somebody's head underwater for a long time to have a full-time job at Deadspin. I've written like 6 beer reviews for Deadspin in like 5 years. Right. So no,
what was the last time you wrote an article for them?
Oh God. I think the last time I would have written for them would have been when Rob Harvilla was my editor there, and he's been at the Ringer for like probably at least 2 years. Like when the Ringer started, when did the, you know what I mean? I don't even know. Right. So
that was like 2016, I think.
Yeah.
2015 maybe. Yeah.
Cause I mean,
it's just it's a good thing to have in your bio because it's a good website.
For me, like, I'm like just thinking, like, you know, when I go to check out someone's like body of work, when I'm thinking of writing something or asking them to be a guest on the show or anything like that, I check out when they last wrote for somewhere, and I assume that either if there's this 2-3 year gap since the last time they wrote for this site, they don't write there anymore. Or if it's been like a few weeks or something, I assume that maybe they're working on like a really like a bigger story than just like a usual daily post. Like maybe they have something big in the works. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think like what 2-3 year scoop have you been working on for Deadspin, Jesse? I mean,
it's a big one. I've been trying to track down Bud Ice for a review, and I just can't. I want to interview the penguin from the commercial, and I can't get a hold of him, but. I haven't like written anything in a year. Every place I was writing, I was like, hey, I actually hate this. So, I'm going to go sleep on the couch. And they said, okay, cool.
Here's how little you write for Deadspin. I am your coworker for about 6.5 months now. And I didn't know you wrote for Deadspin.
Yeah.
We were actually kind of all your coworker briefly, Jesse, when you did the live show for Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
That was like 10 versions of that website ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't they go after Cafe? That would have been a good. What if they had gotten Preet or somebody on there to? Wouldn't that have been a bigger fish? I guess they just didn't. They didn't do their research.
Yeah, well, you never went by Jesse Farrar on Cafe, did you? You had that like.
You were talking to Dan Wiles.
I suppose that's right. Yeah, that just shows you right there what anonymity does for you when you want to troll people online.
Well, with the Deadspin thing, like the reason Barstool got mad, it wasn't because of you or even like what you said. It
right.
was because you were connected with Deadspin. And I think even on Twitter, someone asked the Barstool writer, they were like, what, you like Charlie Kirk? He's like, no, God, no, I hate Charlie Kirk, but I just want to get back at Deadspin. So
right.
It was like a proxy war kind of thing. Like you were kind of caught between two warring factions.
How much attention did that tweet get before Fox News, and how much attention did it get after Fox News?
It seems like there was stages of it. There was the stage where it was just Charlie Kirk's people who had seen it, which I guess is significant. Like I, you know, like I said, I don't know anything about the guy, but he seems to have a sizable audience of whatever those guys are. And so it was just that for a while. It was getting reported quite a bit, but then this was definitely the case with the Hillary Clinton thing a while ago, where I would I got a ton of reports, and then eventually Twitter was like, hey, people are reporting this, but it's fine. We're not going to do anything, so don't worry about it. And I'm pretty sure that happened this time. I can't remember. I'd have to go look. So that was that for a while. And then some of the other guys retweeted it. Ruben Report was one of the guys, and maybe even Cernovich.
Cernovich quote tweeted it, I think, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So a couple guys like that did it. So that was like the second stage of it, where all these other people were getting their bumps off of it. And then I think it would have been Fox and Friends. Well, there was IJR, so IJR wrote about it, and then I guess coincidentally laid off like 15 people a couple days later. Probably has nothing to do with it, but anyways,
never know.
So yeah,
take credit for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they shouldn't have messed with me, and I got in their systems and hacked them and made them not profitable for like the last 2 years. So there was the blogging stage. I think without IJR, probably none of it ever happens, because I guess that's just where all those guys go to get upset, right? Is that what they do? They just get people pissed off?
Yeah,
I think it was actually the Barstool one that was getting quote tweeted the most.
Oh, really?
Barstool, you're going to get the douchebag frat conservatives that I went to school with
who
wear bow ties and paint their coolers with American.
Like boys. The IJR story got retweeted like 3 times. And all the replies were just people dunking on the guy.
Oh, see, I don't know. It was so hard to keep up with. I did that, and then when it seemed like it was going to reach the point of no return, I think, Stefan, you gave me this idea to put our podcasts, the YKS hotline number on there as if it were my own phone number. And so that got passed around a lot, too. Like, hey, Sean Hannity, did you see this? And, like, you should call this number or whatever. What I wouldn't have given for Sean Hannity to call that number.
Did anybody call?
Oh, God, yeah. So on the most recent episode of Your Kickstarter Sucks, my podcast with Mike Hale, we played like 4 or 5 of the voicemails of people. We had one from a guy who called me Big Boy and sounded like he was touching himself. We played one from a guy who was like clearly pacing around his apartment and his cat was meowing in the background at him to go feed her. We had so many. There was a couple ladies, actually, which surprised me.
Interesting.
But they sounded like the sort of opportunistic, like, who's that singer who decided she could get attention from being a Trump?
Joy Vila?
Yeah.
There was one lady who called in like that, who sounded like very put together, and like clearly wasn't mad, but had to pretend to be mad because this is like her shtick or something. She wanted me to find her on Facebook and talk to her or whatever.
I'm like, was she the one who said, I'm not actually a conservative?
Yeah, you know that fake thing conservatives always say?
They love to do that. They love to
Jesus.
Do that. I always like go out of my way and call somebody to like get mad at them over some sort of like ideological thing when I really don't care about that ideology. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Very normal stuff from a very normal crew. I got probably about 30 or 40% of the calls and texts and emails I got were from realtors, because somebody thought it would be a good own, and I guess I have to give them credit for it because it's fairly funny to sign me up for like all these real estate mailing lists and say I had interest in these California properties. So every now and then I'd get something from somebody like, hey, are you still interested in 627, you know, Walk of the Stars place, and I'd go and look at it, and it's like a $2 million duplex in Malibu or whatever the fuck. And I reached out to a couple of those guys because they really thought they were going to make a sale. They probably paid for the lead. So I texted... one guy was emailing me, I guess it was, and I was like, hey, man, listen, sorry, somebody signed me up for this as a gag. I pissed off a bunch of right-wingers, and so anyways, it's I don't live out there. I don't have this money. And he was like, hey, man, don't worry about it. Keep pissing those right-wingers off. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that is pretty. You know,
they're a cool realtor.
If you just had the guy, I guess, who had to like leave his house and start yelling at you from like his car so his mom doesn't tell him to shut up. You know, right. One of those guys, I think you would have got the total, like, the holy trinity of right-wingers that you'd expect to call.
Yeah, that guy, this was a long time ago. Who was that guy? I think his name was Matt, and he said that he would go to his car and record his YouTube rants. Oh. Do you remember that guy? And he had, like, the little South Park avatar.
Fuck. Yeah, I do remember that guy.
Is that, like, Mundane Matt?
Mundane Matt, yeah.
God, there's so many different flavors of these guys, and they're all nuts.
Yeah, he was an early, like, I remember he was one of those, like, on YouTube, YouTube gets ignored so much because they're in their own little like world over there. But there's like right wing guys who have so much more of an influence and a much bigger audience than like the majority of the right wing guys do on Twitter or Facebook. It's incredible that like people like Sargon of Akkad and like Mundane Matt and like the Amazing Atheist, all these guys have millions of followers and no one talks about them outside of their little YouTube audience.
My favorite thing with those guys is to play a little game where you watch a video without the sound on and you don't look at the title, and it's a guy in his car and he's outside of like a Starbucks or a McDonald's, and you have to figure out, is he reviewing the food or is he mad at something they put on one of their cups?
There's this really weird guy. His like username ends in like 666, and he's this like skinny guy with really long hair. And he has like a little Hitler mustache. Have you seen this guy? There's videos of him with like, he wears a leather jacket with no shirt underneath.
Mm.
So weird. He's such a weirdo. Like, I got to find, I'll get this guy's name and I'll send it over to you guys. He probably will provide you with good material.
Like, this is the guy who can't get laid because of feminism.
Yes,
right?
That's the guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy now. Yeah. I've seen the picture of him. I got to admit, I haven't sat down and scrolled through the oeuvre yet, but I've seen the picture. Yeah.
I think my favorite, I don't know if he does videos, but he does post a lot of pictures on Twitter, is that Scott Pressler guy. With the guy, he wears those horrible suits. He's got kind of like long, greasy, ropey hair.
Oh, his Twitter, like his name is The Persistence or something like that.
Yeah. He's part of Gays for Trump, I think. And he's just the strangest guy.
Before I expanded his Twitter avatar for the first time, he really did look like one of those CGI generated avatars that like the Russian trolls that people say are out there. Yeah. Like, looked like one of those counts. I was like, this guy's not real. That's not even a real picture. And then I clicked the button and I'm like, oh my God, that's really a person with that hair. Like, someone has that hair in real life.
He looks like he works at a morgue for real dolls.
You know, that will probably be a real business, not too far away. Yeah,
I'm getting ahead on that. I've got a head start on that.
You've already killed several real dolls.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a point where these guys, you know, just go through them so fast that you're not... something's going to fall off one of them. Got to put them down respectfully. Press F for respect.
They should get a Viking funeral. You know, you light the arrow on fire and you shoot it out there and then, I don't know, it explodes. I'm not sure what those things are made of, but it's probably explosive.
Isn't there like a body of water they have to like throw, make the casket go down for one of those?
Oh yeah,
you put it in like a boat and then kind of drift it off into the sea and you fire the arrow at it and I think that'd be beautiful.
You're Swedish, right, Stefan? You've done this.
I think I'm vaguely Swedish. So yes,
there's nothing vague about it, my friend.
There's gonna be a subculture of necrophiliacs who can't find any real dead bodies to fuck. Give it to
Jesus. Them. This is taking a dark turn. I don't know if this is where you were trying to go with it. I feel like we didn't start off with this.
I think it's great. Hey, let's talk about dead real dolls. They're real. I mean, so let's. I wanted to talk. You brought it up, and I totally forgot about it. But so the Hillary tweet you did. Can you just? I'm sorry, we're focusing so much on you, Jesse, but
no, it's. I mean, it's. I think it's interesting for people who don't get yelled at every day. I guess for me, it's like, well, it's another day of getting yelled at. But for other people who just go out there, they don't piss everybody off. Like every time they walk into a room, like I feel like every time I do something, every time I'm walking around, it's like the record scratches, like in an old, you know, like Roadhouse or something. Like I walk in, instantly everybody's like, "New York City!" Like that's what it feels like to me. So I just, and I don't remember what this was. I think the first one I did was about the knitting thing that happened, right?
Was it Vanity Fair? They put out this video where they basically put out a series of videos where it's like New Year's resolutions for all the old candidates. And when they put out the Hillary one, this woman, I think her name is Maya Kisoff or something like that. She said as one of the hobbies Hillary should take up, she said knitting. And
yeah. It was like a throwaway joke too. That wasn't like the crux of the bit.
Yeah,
that
it was like a whole list.
One of like 10 things.
And one of the things that was mentioned right before she said knitting was improv comedy. So I mean, improv. If your whole thing is that, you know, knitting is sexist, to say like an older woman should go do knitting. I mean, improv comedy. The trope there is that it's an all boys club. So I mean, it, in context, everything was just not the way people were portraying it to be.
Well, there's far more offensive to tell someone to go do improv comedy.
It offended me because every woman I know who knits is the sweetest person I've ever met.
And yeah, and that's what's funny. She couldn't even hang.
Yeah.
She couldn't even do it. But, well, I said something else that was, you know, absurdist, that had no basis in reality whatsoever. But, you know, like you were implying just a second. There's no such thing as context. It was taken out of context immediately, which is that's also like what racist guys say. So I don't want to lean on that one too much, where they're like, well, you didn't hear the context of me screaming the N-word at the Kid Rock concert. But isn't that what that Eagles receiver did? Oh, God, this
Riley
so
Cooper.
Many,
yeah.
So many things ago. I can't remember what happened. I just said she should knit a car and drive into the river, which is not even a good, I mean, that's not even a good joke. It makes no sense. It's stupid. It was just reactionary, trying to react to what was going on. So a lot of people,
let me guess, people saw that and went, oh, you can't knit a car, and that's the end of the story, right?
Yeah, everybody took it in the spirit in which it was given and moved on. So yeah, that one got reported a lot. Another thing that people like to do. So this is on both sides.
I gotta assume that a knit car could probably float, right? I mean,
yeah. I have to admit, I don't know a lot about knitting or Hillary Clinton, but I don't. Something there didn't add up. And I followed it up just joking about driving over her legs in the famous monster truck Gravedigger.
Don't tell me. Everyone read that and went, oh, right. He doesn't have access to Gravedigger. And they all went about their business.
Yeah. That's what right. I thought would have happened. Yeah. But it didn't happen. But I think I'm probably one of the few people that's been fake reported on Twitter to the Secret Service by both sides of the aisle, from, you know, like regular liberal type guys, and then like alt-right, you know, ICP type guys, whatever. So it's both sides for me. So it's pretty cool.
Who is more relentless, the MAGA people or the Hillary people?
Well, I mean, I just look at our government right now. Like that tells you right there who gives up easier. I think the Hillary guys, and it is mostly guys. Like, sure, there were women who did not like that I said that, but we all know exactly the type of guy who was actually pissed, like the Peter Dow type guy. And he probably didn't have anything to do with it because he was too busy shutting down and rebooting his fucking website for whatever reason.
Not reboot yet. Coming summer 2018.
That's cool. I can't wait to see the third avatar and check out the new Verit.com. Looking forward to that shit. So, you know, they like to get on there and they do the tisk tisk at you. And then that's pretty much it. But the alt-right guys were in my DMs. Sam, I'm a fat guy. A lot of some things they like to say were like, how do you write for a sports site when you've clearly never played sports? And I was like, well, I mean, both of those things are wrong. I don't write for a sports site and I've played sports. I mean, I am fat, so I guess one out of three is fine.
But also, like, have they never watched, like, the crowd at a football game?
Yeah, very odd that you would. Well, but look, disingenuous assumptions. I mean, that's their whole thing.
Right.
Then, like I said, you know, this time I actually felt compelled to call the local police department and tell them that I might get swatted. Whereas,
really?
Yeah, when it was like Hillary guys, you know, I wasn't that concerned about that specific threat. So. So I think they definitely, the alt-right guys, I don't know if they have more time or they just, they get more pissed off. They're just probably, they're honest to God, they're probably just smarter.
They just wanted it more.
I think that's true. I mean, they're obviously all pieces of garbage. Like, don't get me wrong, but those guys, they're at least genuine in the way they feel about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's not endorsement. They're just, they care more about their own dumb shit. Like the Hillary guys. They get mad and they go get Starbucks and the day's over. Like, they don't care anymore. But these guys who, they go online and they just get stirred up. They're like, it's like when a dog sees a car drive by. Like, they just can't fucking let it go. Like, they're thinking about the car all day. They see another car. They think it's the first car. They're mad at that car. Like, they just fucking, they lose their minds. So
nobody talks to them anymore, man. They need something to fucking do.
They lost all their family because they voted for Trump, right? No one talks to them anymore. Which actually,
it's our fault. Yeah.
Let me bring Rob here. You, I swear when I see you get serious online, I wonder to myself, you know, what friend from high school or college did Rob just talk to? Because it always feels like someone set you off. So your latest one though, you had this really good, fantastic rant, very serious, very, very not regular Rob Wisman in terms of how serious and sincere it was, but really good rant about, you know, you must have spoken to someone who tried to defend us having guns to the point where kids are getting regularly shot up at their schools. What's the background there? That was really a great post that, you know, you could tell something happened that made you just have to do that.
Nah, dude, I have unfollowed every dipshit from back home that believes in that stuff on Facebook. I don't interact with them. I don't give these people the time of day. That's all they want. They love being the antagonist in every fucking conversation they have. So they're the contrarian of every single issue. They just want to fucking argue with you. And as long as you don't give them the time of day and give them the satisfaction, you win. So fuck all of you. I'm not replying to you on Twitter.
Right.
I just woke up. I don't see any of that. I don't talk to, I've cut all those people out of my life, family, friends, whatever. If you are waving a Trump flag around, fuck you. I don't want you in my life. But no, I woke up that morning and I saw a video of the kids in that classroom screaming, then being let out, and there's dead bodies and pools of blood everywhere, and I just couldn't fucking take it anymore, man.
Of course.
So, like, I am done trying to argue policy with people. It's time to just look people in the face and say, what the fuck is wrong with you? You can't convert these people with you bullshit. You gotta look them in the eye and say, what the fuck is wrong with you? And that's all I was trying to do with that post.
Right. The thing about this one specifically is, I mean, they're all, you know, conservatives always have this these insane explanations that's to, you know, these ways to just deflect whenever there's some sort of gun violence, whether it be in a school or not. But the thing that struck me about this one is that every single one of their usual talking points was disproven in this one event. They usually say, why wasn't there a good guy with a gun in the school? But in this one, there was a security guard, an armed security guard in the school who came out and said, I couldn't find the shooter. I couldn't find him. And then there were people who said, why didn't anyone report this kid if people knew all along there was something off about him? And you have probably a dozen people saying they reported this kid multiple times. Someone who didn't even know the kid in real life, who just had a YouTube video, saw this kid this guy reply to one of his YouTube videos, and he went by his real life name, Nicholas, whatever it is.
Nicholas Cruz.
Nicholas Cruz. He went by his real life name on YouTube, and this guy who doesn't know him, so imagine all the terrible shit that gets posted on YouTube. Now imagine how much shit this guy probably saw in his videos. This guy, Nicholas Cruz, posted something that disturbed him so much on YouTube that he said, "This is the one I'm going to report to the FBI." Like, every single thing that they usually use to deflect is just, it's gone. Like, it happened in this event, and it proved to not work, or it proved not to stop. Like, there was nothing that could happen that they usually throw out there that could have saved the kids there. Yeah.
Well, you've seen what the pushback is, right? What's the number one thing you've seen as far as the defense to that at this point? Because for me, the number one thing I have seen is now we have to have more armed guards because one is not enough.
And right. Teachers should have guns.
Teachers should have guns.
Now, in fairness,
cut to 20.
In fairness,
50,
none of the
teachers are having to buy their own fucking guns.
In fairness, none of the children followed Megan McArdle's instructions of all rolling together into a big ball and running over the shooter.
Katamari, the school shooter.
Exactly. But
God damn it.
I think what's really refreshing is seeing all the kids on Twitter and on social media and on the news just like...
Dude, it's awesome. They're all going to turn 18 this year.
Yeah,
and they're going to be able to vote.
Speaking out and saying, like, we don't want your thoughts. We don't want your prayers. We want you to, like, do something about this. And it's really refreshing to see that.
It is. And they're getting attacked for it, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
Imagine being the person even a year older than them, let alone a person who is, like, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old going at them. Saying, like, you don't know what you're talking about after they just went through an event that those guys couldn't even have dreamed of when they were that age.
It's so insane. It's just like, how can you look at yourself in the mirror after attacking a teenager who was just in a school shooting?
There is a whole team of people wrangling Trump away from his phone to keep from tweeting at these teenagers right now. I guarantee it.
Did you see that photo of when he went to visit the local police?
With the thumbs up and his stupid shitting grin. God, I hate this motherfucker.
He's apparently not golfing today in honor of them.
You got to give it up for that. You got to give it up for that, man.
Maybe his original plan was just the golf flags flying at half mast, and he decided that that even wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You know, in the moment that Trump decided not to golf, I think that was the moment he truly became president. Call me crazy, but I think we're finally getting to the point. He's finally getting it. Don't you guys? This is the turning point right here for the Trump presidency. It's all going to be really good now.
Right. I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm almost being like, everyone's talking about how, you know, this time's going to be different because we've got these really smart kids who went through this, who are speaking out. And I just keep like, and I obviously it's great. I don't want them to not speak out. They should speak out more and more. But it's almost like, you know, it's become like a regular saying, but it's absolutely true. Like, if the Sandy Hook shooting didn't do it, then I really can't imagine even, like, these kids should do it. And I think the hopeful part of these kids coming out and speaking now is that when they are older and they start taking power and having more of a say and their numbers are all there when it comes to elections, they will be able to swing it there. But for the current time we live in, I don't think that's even going to be enough.
Yeah, I remember you see those. I've seen a few tweets about it where it's like, if they didn't do anything after, you know, however many 6-year-olds were murdered, like, what is going to change their minds?
Or maybe more to the point. I mean, of course, that was horrible. But more to the point, the Gabrielle Giffords assassination attempt, whatever that was, where... It's like that's actually one of their own guys, you know.
Well, there was the baseball game too.
Hey, Scalise, yeah. If you could shoot a Republican and they're fine with it, then I guess there really is no. Because you know how those guys think. It doesn't matter. They don't. They usually don't care about an issue until it finally happens to them or their family. Like that Ohio guy. I think Portman's his name, who was anti-gay marriage, and then his son came out as gay, and all of a sudden, you know what? I've had an epiphany. I think gay people should get married. It's like they can't have empathy for anyone until they are experiencing that. But apparently the gun thing is they're kryptonite. No matter what happens, they could all get shot up by guns and they'll have their kids going out there saying, yeah, all of our dads were murdered by gun violence, but everything's fine.
You're right. They don't give a fuck unless it happens to them. I saw a Now This video the other day where this woman who had just lost her job at a factory was giving a speech where she says, Mr. Trump, I trusted you. And like this whole crowd of
the woman at the carrier factory.
Yeah, red state Democrats like applauding her. And no, fuck her, man. That was her line. She put up with all the racist bullshit for so long until she personally lost her fucking job. Fuck you, lady.
You saw that Jimmy Kimmel clip where he invited a bunch of people who wanted to deport even the DACA kids to meet a military. Literally, it's a woman and her kid, and they wanted to deport, or even the mother might also be here because of DACA, but the kid's an American citizen for sure. And the father, who is in the military, and they have these anti-immigrant Trump supporters meet this family. And only one of them was like, you know what, in this specific case, we'll make an exception because of the military angle. But the
rest of them looked them in the eye and said, you got to go home.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievable, man.
And you have these people who... If you say anything negative about the military, not the troops, if you criticize the military in any way, they take it as an attack on the troops. Yeah, they're literally looking an individual troop in the eye and saying, sorry, buddy, your wife's going home.
I'm always reminded of, there's this episode of Malcolm in the Middle where Hal is explaining to Reese what the concept of empathy is. And he's like, empathy is when you put yourself in someone else's shoes, and you think to yourself, like, wow, like, I'm putting myself in their head and seeing what it's like being them and, like, understanding their pain, and it's going to change my mind. And Reese is just like, well, why would I want empathy? That sounds horrible.
Right.
It's just like this attitude, like, you can't fix it.
Right.
It's a good reference.
Hey, Stefan, thanks for the Malcolm in the Middle reference in the middle of the gun control debate. That rocks.
It was a classic episode.
You know what? Maybe that's how a Republican will relate. Maybe they just needed that Malcolm in the Middle reference, and then suddenly they'll just get it. It'll all click.
It's no coincidence that things have been going downhill since they took it off Netflix. So,
Jesus,
that happened
Christ.
Under Trump. God damn it!
Yeah,
Jesus, man.
Life is unfair.
Well, Frank, what's his name? Frank. Frankie Muniz, whatever his name is. Isn't he isn't he a Trump supporter or some weirdo like that?
I think he's a libertarian. I don't know if he's necessarily a Trump supporter.
He's a child actor. Throw it out. It doesn't matter.
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's pivot here and talk about something a little bit more lighthearted. Let's talk about your guy's Twitch stream.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think equally serious, but yeah, I guess it is.
I remember when I saw Stefan originally tweet about it, and it was just a Stefan and Jesse Games type thing.
Yeah, so it started out... I would occasionally tweet about this card game by Blizzard, the guys who make World of Warcraft, and it's a card game based off World of Warcraft called Hearthstone. And I would occasionally tweet about it, and Jesse would always clown on me for it because it's very, very nerdy. And then one day I was like, "Hey man, like I'll teach you how to play on Twitch. Like let's do it." And I tweeted about it. It was kind of like half a joke, half serious. And then we did a stream, and a bunch of people watched and. Rob joined in.
I came in the room one day and was like, what's going on in here? And now
it's, we've kind of changed our, so it was the Stefan and Jesse stream. Now we're the Go Off Kings. We play all sorts of games. Our good friend Ed Zitron, of EZPR bought us a gamer rig. So it's like this whole thing now. We've got like a Discord, like a chat room for everyone, this whole kind of community, and it's a lot of fun.
What is this gamer rig?
Just like a nice it's a computer. Gaming PC.
He calls it a rig. It's a computer.
It's a rig. Also, that's an acceptable term too.
It is a rig
as well.
Yeah.
This is the computer. Yeah. Remember when we used to have the computer? This is the computer.
It's a desktop computer designed for gaming.
This one lives in our house. It's yeah. Weird.
where would you guys rank each other when it comes to best to worst at the game?
Stefan is the only one, so we've branched out from Hearthstone, which I had just no brain for whatsoever. We got one of our other friends into it, Drew, from Toothpaste for Dinner, who plays it now, and he and Stefan can talk about stuff, but it didn't get its hooks in me, really, because I get bored too easy. But, you know, I used to play games all the time, but now it's completely atrophied. Then you combine that with, like, the mouse and keyboard factor. Then you combine that with, like, trying to talk to people in the chat, interact with them, you know, be entertaining and goof off at the same time. It's not possible to be good at games, really, for me anymore. Yeah. But Stefan has the, like, most genuine interest in games, and he'll hear about the games, and he'll be like, hey, we should play this for the stream. This would be fun, or this would be funny to try to figure out. Stefan, you had heard of the bomb defusing game, right? You had already heard of that one.
I'd played that like 2 years ago at like a party or something, and it's a lot of fun. This is a game, Matt, called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, where one person, in this case Jesse, has a bomb up on his screen, and then Rob and I on the other end. We can't see this bomb at all, and we just have the instructions on how to defuse it.
Right.
So Jesse has to communicate to us what the bomb looks like, and based off that, we'll give him the specific instructions on how to defuse it, and you have like a 3-minute time limit. It's a lot of fun.
That's pretty bad. That's like in like the movies where you have to someone's on the phone explaining to you how to defuse it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think Stefan is like the gamer alpha.
Yeah.
And I'm competent enough where I can figure most things out if you give me a while. And then I think Rob is, I explained to somebody else, Rob is like if your indoor cat ever accidentally gets outside and just starts looking around like, oh my God, I had no idea all of this was out here.
So which one of you is most likely to become the Pootie Pie of Twitch? And by that, I mean both the insanely rich and insanely racist.
I'd be the rich one, and Jesse would be the racist one.
Okay. How is the Twitch culture? Because I know the whole Let's Play world got big on YouTube, and I sort of just pretty much knew that stuff from YouTube. I sort of missed the Twitch boat by the time Twitch was a thing that I was interested in. And, you know, it became more difficult with a kid in the picture.
I mean, our viewers are great. Like, I think the typical Twitch stream, like a popular, you know, with like 10,000 viewers Twitch stream is just like, it's garbage. It's horrible. The chat specifically is just really bad.
Technologically, it's like light years ahead of what we were able to accomplish because those guys know what they're doing. And they have like $10,000 computers. But like the actual content of it. It's just a guy like glumly staring at his computer screen for like 7 hours in a row and people giving him $500 every time he goes, bleh! But
and the chat itself is like a bunch of extremely racist alt-right 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous. But our chat is people who are just like fans of the three of us through Twitter, through our podcast, through, you know, Vine, whatever. And they're very nice, and they're a lot of fun, and they joke around with us. We have all these kind of recurring bits we do. They suggest games. They gift us games. It's a lot of fun. It's a nice little community.
Awesome. So what's like the next big game you guys are gonna whip out and provide entertainment for all of us?
We've been trying to play Grand Theft Auto 5 for the past like 2 streams. We're gonna try again tonight. Saturday night. We're going to see how that goes. It's a pretty CPU intensive game. So we tried to play on Jesse's rig and it exploded basically. And then we're going to try and play on ours and stream from there and we'll see how that goes. If that doesn't work, the game I kind of want to try is called Steep and it's like an open world. It's set in the Alps and it's like a skiing, snowboarding, parasailing game where you're just in this huge mountain range, just skiing around. It's like Tony Hawk Pro Skater, but for skiing and snowboarding, and if it was completely open world. It's like, and it's multiplayer, and so Jesse and I can play together and like race around the mountain and stuff and do tricks. So
is the Olympics brought to you by NBC sponsoring this one? Like perfect timing,
actually,
right?
There actually isn't some Olympics DLC, so we might give that a try tonight or an upcoming stream. And we are doing a 12-hour stream on Monday, which is going to be insane.
President's Day.
Yeah, we're going to go crazy.
Right.
That one, I think. Yeah. I don't know when this episode's coming out.
It's going to come out after Monday, but we have already it's already happened. You guys are just you're not tired at all. You're ready to do another 12 hours on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, we stream Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Those are our stream.
Too much.
Yeah. Yes, but it's fun and people seem to enjoy it. So we're gonna keep doing it forever.
Yeah, I live two time zones ahead. I'm in the central time zone, and I have two children. And Stefan and Rob live on the Pacific coast and don't have kids. And
they are not your children. They're not my kids.
Well, I mean, we're in constant communication with the agency, and we're gonna work something out. But no, they're not my kids yet. But it's cool how it was. So we sort of built the schedule around what's convenient for them. It's really cool. It's great. I don't feel bad all the time. You know, I think there's like a couple hours a week where I don't feel like total garbage. So I think, it's going well so far. We've had a nice time.
Now I got to ask you parent to parent now. How like for me, like I was already sort of like, I used to be big gamer and then, you know, a little bit in my mid 20s, I started to just like play just the games I really liked. Like I would always play like Warcraft 3, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3, Gears of War. I love the Gears of War series. But then the kid comes along and it becomes increasingly difficult to, because you know, you got the time with the kid and you can't play Gears of War and blow alien heads off while the kid's right. sitting next to you. And then the kid goes to bed like 8:30 in my case, and then you just want to have dinner and watch a movie and then go to sleep. So how do you do it?
It's not good, because to be honest, I never want to do it. And of course, now I always have fun when I'm doing it. But this is, I mean, that's like symptomatic of my whole life. It's like I don't want to do the thing. I hate doing the thing, and then I do it, and it's fun. And that's part of what you try to tell your kids when they get, you know, like anxious, or in the morning they don't want to go to school, and you're trying to remind them like you have fun with your friends every day. Like you come home at the end of the day, you're all smiles. You've had a great day. You're just grumpy right now because you're tired. As I'm mainline at Coke trying to stay awake so that I don't like rip Stefan's head off the next time I talk to him on the computer. So it's like, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But I don't have the attention span for games is what's really hard for me now. It used to be, like you said, you know, when we were younger and we didn't have these responsibilities, we could play games for hours on end. I mean, the GoldenEye sessions alone would just take up whole days. You would have time to like remember playing, I don't know if you're a big sports guy, but you know, you could dig into a sports game and not just play a game, but like play a season. Like, yeah, Jesus yeah. Christ, who could possibly do that now where you customize a player and have a career, you're making trades. Like just even thinking about doing that now is so funny to me. I have about 12 minutes where my oldest is six. And she's getting really into the Switch. We have a Switch. And maybe someday we can figure out how to stream the Switch, because I think that would be fun as well. It's like a whole different set of games. But she's getting really into Mario. And she'll get to a thing and she'll be like, can you throw Cappy at the fire guy so he doesn't shoot a fireball at me or whatever? And I do that. And then that's about it. Like that, like that kind of like that scratches the itch of gaming, I think, is knocking out a fire guy and getting a moon. But then I got to come up here and, you know, like a suplex badass Billy Gunn with another badass Billy Gunn. And it's not just kind of like icing on the cake, I guess.
Right. I think I have to wait like that till he's a little bit older, because my kid is 2.5. And right now it's basically, if I was to attempt to play a video game in front of him, he would just want to take the control and take over the game. So yeah. So for that, yeah, I guess I have to look forward, something to look forward to.
Mario Kart's very intuitive, I will say. My 4-year-old can do Mario Kart. If she tries hard, she can win. If she doesn't try hard, she will go backwards for the entire race. And eventually the computer will just say, all right, that's enough. So, you know, in a little bit, you'll be able to give him the controller and let him drive around and throw a turtle shell and scream. And like put the controller down and walk away and go to the bathroom and just leave it on the whole time right. and then come back and be like, well, am I done yet? I don't remember where I was, just spacing out constantly. So yeah, you're almost there, I think.
So you're very familiar with that guy on the cloud who tells you you're going the wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's our best friend. Lucky too, I guess is his name. Yeah. We love him so much.
So when you guys are playing Twitch, how often do you guys come across an account like Woke Blacks telling you not to vote for Hillary Clinton in the election?
So no Russian there's been no Russian bots or anything in our chats as of yet that I've seen. I don't know if Jesse, you may have noticed some.
We should make one. We can make bots.
We could make a Russian bot.
Get ready for the midterms.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly it's people making fun of me for pronouncing something wrong.
Sorry.
Yeah, or, well, that's just how I say it. Jesse for, you know, screwing up in the game, or Rob for being very stoned, or someone in the chat made a typo, and then the rest of the chat for like the next hour and a half is just people repeating that typo over and over again.
There's no room for mistakes on our Twitch stream.
No. We run a pretty tight ship over here.
Right. Stefan, how many people, because this happens all the time when I was, we worked together, and although on opposite sides of the country, how many people meet you and think your name is Stefan? Because I can't.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. They call him Stefan for like weeks, and he doesn't have he's too polite to correct them, but
well, they say
I'm not.
Stefan, yeah.
I'm not.
So I think it, because the way it's, I don't know, and spelling as well, I'll get a lot of the PH, you know, because they'll think that's how you spell Stefan is with PH. And I guess the way to spell Stefan is like with two Fs and like an E at the end. So Steffen. And I think what really hurt it was the Bill Hader character on SNL, Stefan.
Right.
So that's most people think it's Stefan.
I got it. I totally forgot about the Bill Hader character. When I hear the name Stefan, I think of Cool Urkel.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's that
Stefan
too.
Stefan Urkel.
There's also, I think, Vampire Diaries, but and it's spelled the same way as mine. I don't know how it's pronounced, though. So that might have something to do with it, too.
So you're all your Vampire Diaries time, is that just taken up by Malcolm in the Middle rewatches, or what?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I've been watching a lot of Grounded for Life.
You should go by Stefan in one social circle and Stefan in another. Have one big party and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Stefan should be what like who you are, like when you're wearing a cool pair of shades or something like that.
I could try that out, yeah. I mean, it does feel a little different when someone says Stefan to me, because I'm like, I know they're talking about me, and like, oh, that is me.
But your back straightens up a little bit, you know? You kinda...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I slick my hair back.
I always, when I would hear it, I would always feel bad about correcting the person because, I don't know, something about accidentally, like if someone accidentally like spelled my name with one T or whatever, or something like that, it's no big deal. But it's just something that seems like embarrassing to me about accidentally calling someone Stefan.
yeah, because it's like a cool name, I guess, right? Stefan? And like, it's not me, but who am I to correct someone for thinking that I can pull that name off, you know?
Right. So guys, this was a lot of fun. We've gone an hour. You guys are doing a stream tonight.
We are.
I wish I could promote it right now, but by the time this comes out, the stream will already have happened. You guys have done your 12-hour stream. It was great. I watched all 12 hours.
And I was there for all 12 hours as well. I didn't leave because it was Stefan's idea, and so I didn't use that as an excuse to not be on there for the whole time because, like, you know, I got shit going on. Like, I can't just do that. But anyways, I was there the whole time. Every minute, I was glued to my seat.
Only two SWATs, too. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Now, you think that would probably give you guys pretty good numbers if that happened. Because we see you in the stream, right? We see you visually. I've checked in and I've seen, hey, look, there's Rob and Stefan.
Yeah.
If we were to get swatted with as much pot as I smoke, I would have a heart attack right there.
Can you think about the GIF opportunity there, though? That would be a world famous.
It is weird because it probably would be better for like the health of the stream. Maybe not the health of the three of us or like our cat. But in terms of like the profile of the stream, it would be a good thing. But please don't do it also.
Yeah, or my children. Yeah, but your cat. Give your cat top billing over my...
Well, I'm just talking on our end here.
Yeah, we're going to have a talk after this.
I'll make sure not to...
If you were making a bomb, could you call the local police station and say, hey, a bunch of assholes on 4chan are fucking with me. Don't let the SWAT team come here.
Oh, God.
Cut this out, Matt. That's going to happen now. That's going to happen now. I'm going to be responsible.
Yeah, you got to cut it out.
My bad. Just curious. I'm not, I don't have anything going on. My bedroom's too small.
Too bad the Unabomber wasn't doing his thing in like 2018 and he would have known about 4chan.
Streaming from his shack.
It's weird. It was nicer than your apartment is. It's very strange.
All right, guys. Rob Wissman, Stefan Heck, Jesse Farrar, the Go Off Kings. Where's your stream? I want to make sure I get the URL right. It's twitch.tv/...
Go Off Kings, all one word.
Not Goof Kings.
Yeah, it does look like Goof Kings, but
it's not.
It does,
yes. twitch.tv/Go Off Kings.
All right. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
That was awesome.
I'm just amazed right now that this show went off without a technical hitch. A four-person Skype call. I'll be marveling at this for the next week, and especially as I record the next show with a total of one guest and having to deal with 15 different recording issues for that show. That's just how it ends up working, you know? And when that happens, I'll just blame the Russians. Seems like the new thing to do. Speaking of the Russians, we will definitely be talking about the reaction to the FBI's Russia-Trump campaign collusion investigation, especially those indictments that came down, because I just think people are blowing this up and they really need to tamper down their craziness. It's just insane. I mean, between that and then on the resistance side of things, and the conservatives claiming that the kids from the school shooting are crisis actors, or George Soros is paying them, and they're being coached through exactly what to say, as if they really don't believe that we need to do more about guns in this country after they just saw 17 of their classmates and teachers shot and killed on their... in their very own school, as if that wasn't enough to make them feel this way, that they needed some sort of incentive. And then there's the one where they think that one of the kids is 26 years old because they found a mugshot of a 26-year-old with the same name. It's, oh my God. Let me put it this way. I wish I could talk about it now, but there's just not enough time left in this podcast because I really want to devote a lot of, I mean, a whole episode really to each of these issues. So hit that subscribe button so you don't miss the soon to be upcoming episodes of Doomed. There's going to definitely be an episode on the reaction to the Russia indictments and the FBI's Russia investigation. There's going to be an episode about the right-wing conspiracy theories about these kids who are starting a movement. We're going to have some good stuff coming up. And you want to subscribe so you don't miss it. It's absolutely free to subscribe to this show. Just go to iTunes or Google Play. I'm working on getting it up other places because I know a lot of you don't like iTunes, which whatever you guys prefer. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you put a tin can up to your ear and somehow the show comes in through that. It's all good to me. All right. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Subscribe. Leave that review. Yada, yada, yada. See you next time on Doomed.